wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Is there an everlasting fire where men suffer agony forever? Who believes all that? All of man's knowledge comes to a dead end as death takes over and a man passes into the unseen hereafter. Human speculations and man's imaginations are but worthless nonsense. A dark curtain is drawn, and no human eyes can by natural wisdom penetrate that barrier. We are dependent on divine revelation, or we will know nothing. It'll be just like a leap into the dark, as the infidel describes it, for each of us, if there is no divine revelation. Has God left us in the dark? The Holy Bible has proven itself to be the Word of God. It tells us of the past history of man since his creation by God, and it draws away the curtain of death to show us some of man's experiences after death. And its greatest revelation is to make known to us, as our only hope in this life or in eternity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as our Lord and Savior. In his words, we have the truth. In his life, we have the life that we so desperately need, and in his death for our sins we have the way back to God, even as he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ spoke with divine finality. None dare speak after him. His utterances were certainties, no maybe so. In simple language he made divine revelation, no vague phrases. And he made no effort to avoid the skeptic, but so spoke that we must either believe him or count him as the most deceitful liar that ever preached. So we will dare to put his words to the test as he removed the curtain of death and told us of men in the unseen world. Here are some of his words. They who do iniquity shall be cast into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What? People cast into a furnace of fire, and there being so conscious, they wail and gnash their teeth in unbearable agony. Yes, that's what Jesus said. Who believes that? We shall see. Again, he warned men, saying, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We agree that if a hand or foot or eye is so ruined by disease it will take a man's life, it's better to cut it off and live. But what is all that about a man being cast by God into a fire that can never be put out, and where the man can never cease to be fully conscious in such agonizing torment? Who can believe that God has such a place, and that any man deserves such punishment? We shall see. The kind of intelligence that accepts these revelations as true. And now, Jesus Christ becomes very definite as he tells us of two men, Lazarus and the rich man, how they lived and their experiences after death. I quote his words. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now if there is no torment, and no flame, and no hopeless doom, and no denied mercy, even to a drop of water, then Jesus deceived us with a pack of lies of his own imagination. And this the skeptics have tried to prove. Skeptic number one says, Jesus got his wires crossed. He said that Abraham talked about Moses and the prophets, and the scriptures being freely read, and he even talked about how Lazarus and the rich man had lived. What did Abraham know about these, since he died centuries before there was a Moses? After Abraham died, did he become God to know everything? Such a nasty slur on divine revelation does not destroy the truth, but awakens us to the otherwise hidden truth in the words of Jesus Christ. How did Abraham know? Here is the history of it. After the death of Abraham, his son Isaac dies, then Jacob, and then Joseph. As each of these enter the paradise beneath, later moved to the paradise above in the third heaven, they tell Abraham of their experiences on earth. Joseph tells Abraham of his blessing in Egypt. Later, Moses joins them to tell of God's marvelous deliverance of Israel out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Then of their going through the Red Sea, he tells of the law that God gave them and how God got him to write it all in five books. Joshua then joins the redeemed in the unseen realm to tell of Jordan drying up for them to pass through and of the walls of Jericho falling. Falling and how they took all the land of promise, and he divided it to each tribe. Now we must skip from them to the prophets. Isaiah the prophet enters paradise and tells of Israel's sin and degradation as they departed from the God of their fathers, and how God called on them, Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, if ye be willing and obedient. But they remained in their sins. Later, Daniel the prophet enters the unseen and tells of their captivity in Babylon and how God honored him to become the prime minister in three world empires and how he proved that his was the living God by that night in the den of lions. Another big skip. Now Lazarus the beggar joins with Abraham and the rest to tell of how in his day they had the Holy Scriptures, the books of Moses and the prophets, and they were read every Sabbath in their synagogues, and anyone could go and hear them. He told how he would go and crouch in a corner in his rags and sores, and how he had repented of his sins and had faith in their living God. Then he mentioned the rich man and his selfishness. So it was that Abraham knew what he was talking about to the rich man from the very ones themselves. And that was why he so spoke of the testimony of Moses and the prophets, the holy scriptures that they had, but would not hear. So that skeptic, in trying to make a fool out of Jesus Christ, made a fool out of himself. How true it is. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. As every test but further proves it to be the solid rock of divine revelation. And now, skeptic two brings his challenge. Jesus told of a man in hellfire, speaking, hearing, remembering, feeling agony, and even seeing afar off. But that rich man died and was buried. How could he see when he had no eyes, hear with no ears, speak without a mouth, feel when he had no nerves, and remember when he had no brain? True, his brain was in the tomb, and his eyes and mouth and ears and nerves were all there too, but they were so inactive the corpse could feel nothing, see nothing, hear nothing, and speak not a word. While in our lives here, these senses operate through the physical members of our body, but all our senses are embedded in our souls and spirits, and when the outward body is shed, then the inward soul, with its senses, has a super ability. Hence, he saw afar off. That is why Jesus Christ told us not to fear man, for he can only kill the body, while the soul goes right on in its own eternal being, forever active, never asleep, and never unconscious. Did such skeptics never dream, and in their dream hear and see and feel, so they awakened in a sweat and fright? It was so real. They saw while their eyes were tight shut asleep. Now, having met the skeptics' attacks, our big question remains, who believes all that about a hellfire and people in its tormenting flames? Number one, demons believe it to be so. Holy Scripture declares that demons believe and tremble as they anticipate their certain doom. They cried out to Jesus Christ as they recognized him as God their judge. Jesus, thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They believed in the torments of the eternal wrath of God. Number two, the devil believes it. If any think that only a thoughtless fool would believe such, remember that Satan was the wisest of all created beings, being full of all wisdom, and he believes it. Jesus Christ told us that the everlasting fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. There was a time when there was no sin in God's universe, and there was no everlasting fire. But when Lucifer, the devil, as the highest of created beings aspired, I will be like the Most High, God decreed, thou shalt be brought down to hell. And Satan knows his doom is certain and that his time is short. So he is stepping up his program to drag men down to the burnings with himself. Number three, the rich man in hell believed it as he cried, I am tormented in this flame, and begged for just one drop of water to cool his tongue. To him, hellfire was an awful reality and an eternal certainty. He had to believe it. And soon all created intelligence will believe it. Neighbor, don't wait till you have to believe it. Believe it now and be saved from that agonizing eternity. Number four, the prophets believed it. Hear Isaiah, the greatest of all the prophets, as he cried, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? What? God has a place like that for humans, sinners, and hypocrites, and they are consciously perpetuated in a fire of everlasting burnings? Yes. This the prophet cried to warn every man of that awful end of the road. Number five, the apostles believed it. Hear John, that great apostle of love, as he describes men before the judgment throne of Almighty God to receive their final penalty. And death with the body, and hell with the soul, were cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this will be for a forever and ever experience. And it was Paul, the most honored apostle of Jesus Christ, and who expounded the marvelous grace of God in the gospel. He said, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Thus Paul warned of the flaming fire of divine vengeance and people consciously punished in that unending judgment. Six, the Lord Jesus Christ believed it. He not only revealed to us the horrors of those flames, but he proved that he believed every word of it. How? Where was he when he made that revelation? He stood here on earth. What was he? The Lord of glory doing here? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from that hellfire which we deserved. And to Calvary's cross he went to pay the price of our salvation by dying for our sins under the full punishment of the wrath of Almighty God. And all to make possible to every man an eternity in heaven and not in hellfire. Of being with God as his child and not with the devil as his victim. Of being where we will sing praises and not wail and gnash our teeth in unbearable agony. He did believe it and showed how much he believed it. It's now time for self-examination. Number seven, do you believe it? One answers, I will have nothing to do with a God like that. That sounds like a man in the jail saying he will have nothing to do with the judge. The word of God declares, God, in whose hand thy breath is and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. And it further insists, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. At the voice of the Son of God, each one must face his judge, like it or dread it. Another answers, yes, I know it must be that way, for God cannot lie to us. But what have you done about it? You know that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, and that rich man went to hell because he would not repent. You know that the Lord Jesus told us, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And yet you have never repented of your sins. Who hath bewitched you? Awake out of your stupor, and flee from the wrath to come. Neither eat nor sleep until you repent, and seek the Lord, crying to God for his mercy, and confessing to Jesus Christ that you do now receive him as your Lord and Savior. Then he can, and he will, save you from your sins, and from the hell fire they deserve. Just as number 8, I confess, I believe it. Why do I, at 81 years of age, work at the printing presses or making these tapes until 2 or 3 a.m. at night? I receive no salary or funds for my labors. Neighbor, it is because I believe that my fellow men are going to that awful furnace of fire, hell, and will never find relief from its tormenting flames. I dare not nurse my tired body. I must keep on and do my utmost to warn you and beseech you to get right with God. And now for a final word. You'll never go to heaven until you confess to God that you believe he has an eternal hellfire and that you deserve it for your own sins. Then and only then can you call on God for his mercy and on the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation. He came to seek and to save the lost, the hell-bound sinners, and he will save you. Rest not until you know Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Neighbor, the skeptics cannot overthrow God's truth. The divine revelation remains like a solid rock. First, there is a hellfire of eternal torments. Second, you and I deserve to go there for our insulting, defiant sins against Almighty God. Third, the Lord Jesus, who warned us of hellfire, provided salvation for us by dying for our sins and rising from the dead and ascending back into heaven. He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Fourth, the terms, or how we get this eternal salvation, are very clear. Obey him. Obey him by repenting of your sins before God and seeking his mercy. Obey him by surrendering to him as your Lord to obey and serve him. Obey him by trusting in him alone to save you and to take you to heaven. Fifth, and remember, the time is now. That rich man in hell was once on earth where he too could have been saved, but he neglected God's salvation, and in hell there was no mercy. It was too late. Neighbor, the time for you to be saved is now, right now. Seek the Lord with all your heart today. Tell him, O thou living God in heaven, I thank thee for warning me of hellfire. I confess I deserve to go there for my awful sins against thee, but I beg thee to be merciful to me, the lost sinner, for the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, who died for my sins. Lord Jesus, I now confess thee as my Lord and Savior. Please receive me to be one of thine own forever. Amen. Then you will prove the scripture to be true. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Save now and save forever. Save from hellfire and save to go to heaven. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through his bondservant David.